have mercy on me, he says, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out all of my transgressions. David discovers that God is merciful. You will never begin to change until you discover the mercy of God.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I want to talk about what we just heard for a second. That's quite a statement. You'll never begin to change until you discover the mercy of God.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about how the Lord Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive them away. Now, if you really believe that, if a person believes, if I come to Jesus, he'll not turn me away, he'll receive me, he'll embrace me in love. If I really believe that, I'll come. If I think he's going to frown on me, he's going to hold up his hands against me, he's going to push me away, I'll likely not come.
Right.
Because who wants to have that experience? So it's when we see that he is merciful, when we see that there is love in Jesus Christ, then we'll come to him. Why would you stand at a distance from Jesus Christ if you believe that he will receive you and that he will receive you gladly? And that's what he says he will do.
Sure. We're in a series called Changing Direction. We've been taking a look at Psalm 51, and last time in the broadcast, we began to really look at making sure we have the right diagnosis. Today, it sounds like we're making sure that we're getting the right treatment, we're doing the right thing in coming to Jesus.
That's right. Well, it begins with coming to realize the extent of my own sin. That's, as we're following the story of David, what happens. But you see, the danger is when you realize the extent of your own sin, you might just go to despair. You might say, well, you know, I've really blown it now. Now you've got to lift up your eyes and say, now, despite all that I have done and the mess that I am in, if I come to the Savior, he will welcome me. He promises that, and that's the reason that we'll come.
Well, we are in Psalm 51, so open your Bible and join us there as we begin a message called Get the Right Prescription. Here is Pastor Colin.
Last week, we began our exploration of how to get right when you know that you have gone wrong. And we saw together that the first issue is always the issue of correct diagnosis. Nobody can begin to talk about recovery until we have a full understanding of the nature of the problem we face. And so we explored that together in Psalm 51, and I hope you'll have that part of the scripture open in front of you again this morning. We saw last time, you'll remember if you were here, that there are three words that are used in the scripture to describe our condition of sinfulness. First, there is that word trespass, transgression. Each of us has stepped repeatedly over the line of the boundaries that God has set for our lives. Then there is the word sin. We fall short of the target that God has set for us. Look at any area of your life, whether it be work or marriage or conversation or ministry, and you'll find that you're a long way short of the perfection of a holy God. And then David uses that word iniquity, which speaks of twistedness that is in every one of us. And that is the spring of these other two problems. The reason that we sin and the reason that we transgress is that there is something that is fundamentally wrong in the human heart. Our thinking is skewed. We love the wrong things. Our desires are too often pulled in the wrong direction. We have broken God's laws. We have failed to reach God's standards. And the reason is that there is something twisted inside. That's the diagnosis of the problem as it's laid out for us in the scriptures. Now, just by way of review, so that that learning is clear for us, I'd like you just to glance for one moment at the worship folder. And if you look there at the As We Prepare for Worship section, you'll find that there is a prayer which comes all the way from the 16th century. It's part of the liturgy of the Church of England. And you'll notice there that there are three phrases that describe the problem of the human condition. I'm reading from the middle of the fourth line. First of all, the general confession includes these words, we have left undone those things that we ought to have done. Now that's sin, isn't it? We've missed the mark. We've not got up to the mark in the things that God called us to do. But then it says, we have done those things that we ought not to have done. That's transgression, trespass, stepping over the boundaries. Then, says the general confession, there is no health in us. That's iniquity. So here is a biblical analysis of the human condition. And we saw, you remember from Psalm 51, that this wasn't something unique to David, the result of some bad experiences in his early life or anything like that. No, says David, this problem in me goes right back to my very conception. It goes back to the day of my birth. It's been with me from the beginning. This sin thing is programmed into my very nature. I was born with it, and it is no small issue. Because sin is offense against God, and I stand before God with absolutely no excuse. So that is the issue of diagnosis. It's not good news. Many people do not want to hear it. Many persist in the belief that human beings are basically okay. If there are imperfections, oh, none of us are perfect. It's merely a surface problem. But the Bible takes us deeper. And the importance of understanding this is if you don't grasp the problem, you will never understand the solution. Only when we understand sin can we really appreciate the cross. For Christ came to save sinners. Now today we're going to move on. A serious problem needs a radical solution. And if a doctor gives you a serious diagnosis, your first question instinctively is always, what can be done about it? Last week we were introduced to the patient and his problem. Today we're going to be introduced to the great physician and his prescription. Psalm 51 not only gives us the diagnosis, but it takes us forward in understanding the cure. Christ is the physician who brings hope for every soul. And his prescription, I want us to understand this morning, touches three areas. First, it deals with the issue of guilt. Second, it deals with the problem of pollution. And thirdly, it deals with the power that lurks because of our sinfulness. It's important that we distinguish between true guilt and false guilt. True guilt is when I have offended God through some word or thought or action. False guilt is when I am worrying myself about something that is not offensive to God. I think of how often in earlier years of ministry, I would have worked flat out in pastoral visitation and come home not with any satisfaction of what was done, but with a sense of burden of all that was not done. That was just false guilt. And there's a lot of it about in Christian circles. It's important that we can tell the difference between these two. They are different in their origin, and they're different in the strategy that we use to confront them. True guilt is brought to our attention by the Holy Spirit, and the response should be confession and repentance. But false guilt is engendered within us by the devil, and our response to that should be confrontation and resistance. So if anyone comes and says, Pastor, I'm struggling with guilt, my first question is always, well, is it true guilt or false guilt? Let's distinguish between these two. But then secondly, there is the guilt that we feel, and there is some guilt that we do not feel. There are times when we feel the burden of something we shouldn't be carrying. There are other times when we are insensitive to something in our lives that really is offensive to God. Now, if we put these two things together, we'll see fairly quickly that there are two things that are healthy when it comes to this matter of guilt. The first is that we do feel the weight of our real offenses against God. That is obviously right, and it is the work of the Spirit to bring us to that point. Secondly, it is healthy that we should not feel the burden of false guilt. And it is the work of the Spirit to set us free in those areas of our lives. But equally, it should be very obvious to us that in the other two boxes, there is an area of problem. If we are weighed down with false guilt, with burdens that God never called us to bear, something needs to be done about that. And if we are insensitive to our true offenses against God, something needs to be done about that. The wonderful thing is that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to help us in both of these areas. And he does it through the truth. It is through the truth that sets us free that the Holy Spirit releases us from those burdens of false guilt that no human being should carry. But it is equally by the word of his truth that the Holy Spirit brings us from insensitivity about our real offenses into a position where we understand our true guilt before God. The Holy Spirit, through the ministry of Nathan, we saw last week, has moved David from insensitivity about true guilt to the point where he realizes the gravity of his offenses before God.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Get the Right Prescription. We're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. Well, this is the last week to give a gift of any amount and request your copies of Pastor Colin's brand new illustrated book, Christmas Stories. One copy for you, one to give away. And if you want to find out more about this and support the ministry of Open the Bible, you can visit our website, openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
The Holy Spirit, through the ministry of Nathan, we saw last week, has moved David from insensitivity about true guilt to the point where he realizes the gravity of his offenses before God. And every one of us has multiple entries in this box. And when that is diagnosed, the question, of course, is what can be done about it? Well, look at David's prayer in verse 1 as it relates to the guilt of sin. Have mercy on me, he says, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out all of my transgressions. David discovers that God is merciful. And grasp this morning. You will never begin to change until you discover the mercy of God. It's a crucial principle. Think about the prodigal son and how it was the Bible tells us that he began the process of change. Remember, he also has real guilt. He has disgraced the family. He's blown the trust that's been placed in him. He's wasted the resources that have been given to him. And finally, he comes to the end of his rope. But then two things happen, the Bible tells us. The first is he comes to his senses. He realizes for the first time that the direction of his life has been wrong. He hadn't thought that before. The party was in full swing. He was full of joy. But now he moves into the box of realizing real guilt. He feels the weight of it. And that's the work of the Spirit. But God never wants any one of us to stay there. God never wants us, when we get into that box, to be sitting like the prodigal son with our head, as it were, between our knees, merely feeling our misery. No, there's something else that happens. He says, I will arise and go to my father. And you see, the root of that decision was that deep in his mind, even though estranged from his father, he had the sense that if he went back, he would be well received. Perhaps he will make me one of his hired servants. Now, you see, no matter how much the prodigal's conscience may be stung, no matter how much he may feel the misery of his condition, he will just keep running from Father unless and until he feels that Father will receive him back. He needs the awareness of his misery to give him the desire to come back. But he also needs the assurance of a welcome to give him the confidence to come back. Put these two things together, and you have the dynamic of the movement that the Bible calls repentance. If the prodigal had reckoned that the father's primary interest was justice, and that coming back home would mean years of raking over the coals, prolonged investigation, and years of tension, he would just have kept running. But as he thinks about his father, he has better thoughts. perhaps he will make me one of his hired servants. John Calvin has a brilliant comment about this that I found so helpful. He says, the beginning of repentance is a sense of God's mercy. It is only when a man is persuaded that God is ready to forgive that he begins to gather the courage to repent. Great phrase. It's when you realize that God stands ready to forgive that you'll begin to gather the courage to repent. Sinners always run away from justice, but they will be drawn by mercy. And there's so much for us in our relationships to learn from the way in which God deals with us. Is there someone who's running from you? Could it be that the reason is that they think your primary issue is sorting out the truth and establishing justice? Find a way of conveying to them that if and when they choose to turn, there's a welcome. You see, the sense of sin without the knowledge of mercy makes a man keep on running. But David's repentance begins at this point. He says, let me tell you about the mercy of God. There is a great physician. There is a God in heaven revealed throughout the Bible and focused in his revelation in Jesus Christ, and he is big in mercy. He does not pursue mercy at the expense of justice. All our entries in the box of real guilt have consequences. And that is why Christ came into the world. God became man in Christ Jesus, and he said, I will bear the consequences of your sin in my own body. And here is the mystery of the gospel. God lays the guilt of our sin upon his Son. He takes our sin upon himself. And God says, I will not pursue justice with you, but I will pursue justice with my Son on your behalf. So God pours out his justice on Christ so that he may show mercy to all who are in Christ. And David begins to rebuild his broken world as we will begin to rebuild ours with the discovery that God is merciful. God is full of compassion. God pours out unfailing love. Let me introduce you to the great physician. He is full of mercy. And that's the first part of the prescription. Sin makes us guilty. Really guilty. And we need the merciful forgiveness of God. But there's a second part to the prescription that we're looking at this morning. It is not only that God forgives the guilt of our sin, but David goes on to explore this dimension, that God cleanses the pollution of our sin. Some of you will remember back on the 17th of March, 1978, 20 years ago, a supertanker by the name of the Amoco Cadiz ran aground off the coast of Brittany. It's really hard to imagine the scale of this, but this tanker was carrying 233 million tons of crude oil, nearly a quarter million tons of oil. And it runs aground 20 years ago off the coast of Brittany, tipping tons of this crude oil into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, as the disaster progressed, oil was swept up onto more than 130 beaches on the coast of Brittany. Some of them were covered with crude oil up to 1 foot deep. An amazing disaster. The damage was incredible. But when you think about that, you see, a disaster like this gives rise to more than one problem, doesn't it? I mean, for a start, there's obviously the issue of compensation. There are legal issues, which actually were dealt with here in Chicago, where a judge awarded damages against the company of $85.2 million. There were legal issues and costs to be dealt with. But there are other problems to be addressed. Justice may be served in the courts, but there's still a massive cleanup to be done on the beaches. It is one thing to pay compensation. It is another thing to deal with the mess. Now, when God deals with our sin problem, you see, he not only deals with the cost, the penalty, sin and forgiveness, he also deals with the issue of pollution and cleansing. Remember how it's beautifully brought together in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He deals with these matters of justice, mercy. He clears the record, nothing to pay. But remember, it goes on. Not only that, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And these are distinct things. Sin causes an offense against God, which leaves a price to be paid that was paid by Jesus. But sin also causes pollution in our hearts, a pollution that only God can cleanse. And God always acts in these two spheres together. They're part of the same prescription. You cannot have forgiveness if you do not also want to be clean. Notice how David puts it here in verse 7. Having explored the mercy of God that leads to forgiveness, he now comes in verse 7 and he says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." You see, he's saying to himself, "Lord, it's not just that I'm guilty, it's that I feel dirty." He says, "Cleanse me with hyssop." Hyssop was used as part of the ritual of cleansing of lepers. I think the fact that he makes that reference just gives you an indication of how he feels. I just feel like a leper. "I find it hard to stand with joy before you because I know I've offended you. But there's another problem, God. I find it hard to live with myself because of what I know I've done." To make a man clean after this sort of thing will take a miracle. And that's exactly what David is asking for. Cleanse me.
What an encouraging thing to be thinking about today, that God is compassionate, he's merciful, and as we draw near to him, we can find forgiveness when we sin. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Get the Right Prescription. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast or you want to go back and listen again, you can do that at our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener supported. We depend on your financial generosity to keep the program on the station, make the app and the online presence available. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd love to send you two copies of Pastor Colin's new book called Christmas Stories. It tells the story of Jesus' birth in the first person from the perspective of different Bible characters. And Colin, it sounds like a unique book. Where'd the idea come from?
Well, as a pastor, you're always trying to tell the great story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in a fresh way. And over several years, I just hit on the idea of telling the story in a first-person form through the eyes of various people who were involved in the event. And so our friends at 10 of Those Publishing have gathered some of these together, and we now have Christmas Stories. That is the Christmas story told through the eyes of Mary, through the eyes of Joseph, through the eyes of Simeon, the prophet who blessed the Lord Jesus in the temple, even through the eyes of Herod and through the eyes of the angel Gabriel. And it just brings something fresh to the telling of the Christmas story. And it's designed to be read aloud. It's for all the family. It's for you and people you love. Read it aloud at Christmas. It will help to bring the Christmas story in all of its wonder and all of its glory in a fresh way into your life.
Well, we want to send you not one but two copies of Pastor Colin's new book entitled Christmas Stories. It's our way of saying thank you for giving a financial gift this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Who in your life needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them. Most people can think of someone, and many are finding that someone in their life is open to this invitation. Would you be interested in opening the Bible with me? Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that will help you open the Bible with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible has 15 short sections, each with 5 discussable questions that will open conversations around the Word of God. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.